When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Talking to people road tripping to Chicago. Also, what's your gut tell you? Is this a big Lions win? Do they get back? The Lions, in their games against teams under 500, they've won by an average of 28.6 points a game. The closest, obviously, was the game against the Bears that they won by three. Do they get their mojo back and roll this Bears team? Do they win a close one? They've gotten to the point in the year where you can start adding up injuries, road game. Is this going to be a close one? Or do you think the Lions might actually lose? Michael sends us the following tweet. The Lions lose. The defense sucks now. Outside in Chicago would have been a game for Montgomery. They will miss him Sunday. From Garth. After listening to Dan Campbell's build-up comments, my heart says we win big, but my head says in the background, quietly saying, close game, won by whoever has the ball last. 248-539-9797. We get back to your open line calls. Don is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Don.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going great, Don.
Man, everybody needs to relax, man. Everybody's saying we're dynasty. We haven't won nothing. Well,
hold on. Everybody's not saying that.
Yeah, they're killing me every week. Just relax. Dan the man will get everything right. The defense, next man up.
So are you saying you think they'll be okay?
Yeah, I think we're going to be great.
Okay, so your message is everybody needs to be relaxed. Everyone needs to relax. They're too confident, but yet you're confident.
I'm 100% confident. We're going to go in Chicago this weekend, and we're going to make a statement. We're going to blow the doors off of them.
So what? The first part of the call, your message was, relax, you're too confident. This part of the call is, we're going to blow the doors off them.
Yeah. I had a commercial break to calm down.
Well, look,
it's been a rough 2 weeks for me. You know, ticket prices for my season tickets went up. I don't know if I should renew them or get my girlfriend or fiance, get her a ring. I don't even know what to do anymore.
Now, it's hard for me to judge and help you with that because I don't know much about your girlfriend or fiance, but if she's a good one, don't let her get away.
Well, she gets mad because every week I don't take her to the games.
So does she want to ring more or does she want to go to the games more? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
I told her I want the Lions ring.
Oh, you want a Super Bowl ring?
I want a Super Bowl ring.
All right, so the cost of a wedding ring, how much does that compare to like a cost of Super Bowl tickets? You think you could get instead of getting her a ring, an engagement ring, take her to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the call there, Don?
That might be the call.
Yeah. All right. Maybe give her a choice. You want a ring or you want to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, this is your ultimatum.
Get down on one knee and say, would you either A, marry me, or would you either B, go to the Super Bowl with me? It's your choice.
Yeah.
All right, Don, thanks.
To me, it sounds like he already made his choice. He's choosing the Lions over her, right? Like he doesn't want to take her to the games, but he doesn't have money to buy a ring. He's choosing the Lions.
But relax.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying dynasty. We're going to blow out the Bears and we'll be fine. I feel like we just went inside and that guy was having some debates in his own head and we were just privy to them. 248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. We do appreciate all your feedback. Sitting out Chicago but heading to San Francisco. There's a lot of tickets available for the Bears game. That's from an unnamed texter. The Lions are undefeated on the road this year. I think a big part of that is our fans showing up wherever we go. It's one thing to get the support at home, but on the road, it's a way bigger deal. I agree. I mean, it's like the booze. When you're on the road and you get booed, you expect it. You lean into it. You kind of like it. But when you're at home and you get booed, that hurts. When you're at home and you get cheered, you expect it. It's kind of standard operating procedure. But when you're on the road and you get cheered, it gives you a little more juice. I don't think this will be a blowout. Lions are going back to the basics, running the ball. I see something like 24-14. That's from an unnamed texter. I have Chicago 34, Detroit 31. Our defensive woes continue, unfortunately, even against the bad Bears team now, and the cold weather will slow down our offense. Not that much. You got them with 31 points. And here's the thing, too. It'll slow down Detroit's offense, but it won't slow down Chicago's. I mean, we could say they're more used to it, but are they? They played a ton of cold weather games this year. How's the weather been for their games? They haven't played at home since November 24th. It's been almost a full month since they've had a home game. Next one, wife and I bought tickets this morning, going to watch the Lions beat the Bears on Sunday. That's from Kurt in a truck. And from Thomas in Oklahoma City, this will be a total Lions takeover. I'm flying in from OKC, bought my tickets on SeatGeek. There you go.
It might be a Lions takeover because the apathy of the fans in the Chicago area may have taken over where they're like, hey, man, if you're a season ticket holder, you know Lions fans want to go to a game. It's close. It's a drivable game. Maybe I can make up for some of my losses, you know, this year, or some of the money I've spent this year as a Bears fan, and sell these off. And could that could happen that, a lot. Yeah, that could be happening a lot this weekend.
All right. Want to get to this, Kang? You asked a question that has become probably a little bit more of a debate point in everyone's home. The NFL has dipped its toe into Christmas Day, or now frequently Christmas Day games. And this year with Christmas falling on a Wednesday, it felt like the NFL was going to have to punt because Wednesday games are tough to schedule. But they got very creative with the scheduling, and they've got four teams playing tomorrow, Saturday, so they can get the minimum the 3 days rest, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then play the Wednesday game. So it's no different than Sunday to Thursday. It's just Saturday to Wednesday. So we got a 1 o'clock and a 4:30 game on Christmas Day. And Kang, you asked a challenging question. Now, did you ask this because this may happen in your household, or you were just wondering?
Oh, yeah, it may happen in my household.
Okay. I think typically most people open gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning.
The bulk
of the tree gets emptied on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Yes. We are a Christmas morning family. Are you Christmas morning or Christmas Eve?
We are too, because my wife's side of the family and my side of the family.
Okay.
So my wife's side, we do Christmas Eve. My side, Christmas Day.
Okay. But when extended family comes over, am I wrong to say it's usually afternoon?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay, so
gives people get time to get ready, get up, get to their destination.
They do their own Christmas gifts, then they prepare food or whatever, and so they head over to a relative's house in the middle of the day on Christmas Day.
Yep.
Can you have football on the TV while you're opening gifts?
Yeah, America needs to know, man. There's NFL football this year on Christmas Day. There's two games. The first game is at 1 o'clock. In fact, my side of the family is having Christmas Day at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Yes, that's where the cousins and aunts and uncles will be exchanging gifts. The kids will be opening them. Yeah, this is going to be happening at my mom's house.
Okay, I was about to say, you're not hosting.
No, I'm not hosting this year.
So are you telling your mom, hey, put the football game on?
Yes. Is that rude?
Well, that's the question. As you said, America needs to know. So we want to take 10 texts at 248, 248-539-9797. Can you have football on the TV while you're opening gifts? We need 10 texts at 248-539-9797. We'll read the first 10 we get. Make sure you sign your text. Can you have football on the TV while you're opening gifts? Kang says yes. He's going to ask his mom to put the game on while people are opening gifts. Can you do that?
I think there's a couple things here with that.
Yep.
And you probably got to have the TV on mute. All right. And you and Kenny and I were talking about this the other day. I think you kind of have to half pay attention to what's going on with the gift opening. And like the other half is watching football.
I get it. You have to have dual personalities. Yes. And split attention. You know what that is? That's good acting. You have to act like you're interested in the gifts if you're really interested in the football. It's a tough one.
Can oh, what'd you get for Christmas, honey?
Yeah.
Daddy's got a parlay going. What's going on? Oh.
Because Daddy got a first down.
Yeah. Are those rollerblades? Nice. Okay.
They're going to review that, right?
What are you doing, Russell Wilson?
All right. 248-539-9797. First 10 texts. We'll read them next. Can you watch football while there are gifts being opened? Hey, we finally made it to the weekend, and Twin Peaks can't wait to host the party. One of the biggest football weekends of the year kicks off tonight with the start of the new college football playoff. Get there early for a front row seat. Indiana travels to South Bend to take on the Irish, but it doesn't stop there. Circle back Saturday for three more playoff games, two pro football games, and one of the most anticipated rematches of the year. Alexander Usyk is back to defend his belt against Tyson Fury. What makes games even better at Twin Peaks? The guest experience. They know how much your favorite teams mean to you, and they try to make your viewing experience even better. Wall-to-wall TVs, coldest draft beer in the state, an extensive bar featuring amazing craft cocktails, high-end bourbons and tequilas, a scratch kitchen boasting the best bar food you've ever had, and it's all served up by the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. If you can't make it in today or tomorrow, be sure to stop in early Sunday for your boys in Honolulu Blue taking on division rival Chicago in the Windy City. It doesn't get much better than that. And don't forget to pick up your gift cards, perfect stocking stuffers for family, friends, or colleagues. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Doug Karsh Gator out today. It is the Karsh and Anderson radio program, 248-539-9797. So Kang mentioned that he's going to be with family at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. As the family gathers for this cherished holiday to celebrate all that is good, he wants to know if the NFL game can be on the TV in the background while everybody's opening gifts. So we asked for 10 texts and we got them. Can you have the NFL game on while the family is opening presents? What's first game? Is it the first game?
It's Chiefs at Steelers.
It's a good game.
It's a great game.
Does that matter? Hey, it's a good game. Got to put the game on. It's a good game. You know, it's awesome. Somebody puts their foot down. No, you can't have the NFL on while we're opening gifts.
Oh, I'm sure someone will in some families for
and
sure.
And if the comeback is, dude, it's Chiefs Steelers. And somebody goes, oh, that is a good game. All right, you can put it on. Josh writes in, yes, the game is on with no sound. Pat and Pinckney, ain't this America? Absolutely okay to have the game on. Anthony in Grand Blanc says, no, gifts are only for Christmas morning. Well, the game's in the afternoon, so doesn't that mean yes? Kenna McComb says, yes, of course. Gifts are for the kids. The game is for the big kids. Rod at work, definitely football during gifts. It's better than watching a Christmas story all day long. Rick in Woodhaven, football on TV while opening gifts? Yes. Michael and Celine, yes, football on TV is allowed during gift opening. Scott, it's just a football game. Spend the time with your family. Quit being a dork. Daryl in East Point, I think it's rude and disrespectful to all families and the players. It's a holiday. Everybody should be at home with their families. From Justin in Brighton, absolutely have the game on. Mute the game. Have the soundbar synced to Christmas tunes. From Scott, yes, we're going to be at my mom's. I can tell you now, football's on TV with the volume down and Christmas music. Everybody is happy. Joy to the world. This is a resounding yes. Now, the no's are pretty, those texts came in with conviction.
I'm telling you, I know, because we're a sports station, you know, so I knew that it would be lopsided with the 10 texts, but...
If we were gone all Christmas music back in November and have played nothing but Christmas music since, we might have a different audience, you're right.
So I just want people to know there are many families out there that don't care about sports or football and would find this like appalling almost. Like, what do you mean? Like,
who are these people?
Not related to us, right, Doug? So I think you have to navigate, especially when you're going to other people's other houses, right?
Dude, I will say this. The one time I wouldn't do it is if you're meeting the new girlfriend's parents.
No, that's a no.
That's a no. Don't even ask. Now, if your new girlfriend's mom or dad says we're putting the game on, then lock her up. Then marry her.
Yeah, that's the dream. But, I mean, like, yeah, if you're going over to, you know, you're meeting the in-laws for the first time or whatever, like you said, the girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
And they don't have the TV on. You can't even ask.
No, do not ask.
Don't even ask. No. Like, what if you're lying about, but it's Chiefs Steelers.
Maybe that's a test of whether or not it's a family you want to marry into. Maybe actually you do ask. And that's a barometer. If they say no, maybe this relationship isn't going to work out.
Maybe you turn on the TV to the game and go, oh, did I sit on the remote? Oh, did I just, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What is this? Football?
Football, you say.
We should just leave it on, I guess, you know?
It's fate. God wants us to watch this game. All right, now I've gone too far. Anyway, good luck with that challenge on Christmas Day. So, last night in the NFL game, one of my favorite things happened. It's Broncos Chargers, and it was right before the half. I've talked about this on the air before, and I have a minor obsession with the fair catch free kick. The fair catch free kick has happened like a dozen times in the history of the NFL. It doesn't happen very much. The fair catch free kick is when a team is punting, and the Lions had a chance to pull this off a few years ago. I think Jim Caldwell was a coach. They were playing in Chicago, and the Bears were like inside their own five. The Lions had a timeout, and the Bears let the clock expire. When if the Lions had used the timeout at the right time, and this was a situation, I'll never forget it. Actually, I should be careful here because I might get the details slightly wrong. I just remember that Jim Caldwell didn't use the timeout and forced the Bears to punt out of their own end zone when they could have employed the fair catch free kick. Fair catch free kick is if somebody punts to you and you signal for a fair catch and execute a fair catch and the clock expires on the half, you can take a free kick for 3 points. It's a fair catch, and the free kick is from a holder with no rush. Now, have you ever seen a kickoff guy kick the ball off and it goes through the uprights? And why can't they do that all the time? Well, the difference between a kickoff and a field goal is a kickoff, you can take a 10-yard run-up. A field goal, you got two steps and boom. So the fair catch free kick, you have a bigger range. Like you can really expand the range out of 65, 70 yards if you want, because you can have a massive run-up. There's no rush. It looks like a kickoff formation. And they did it last night. The funny thing was the Broncos punted. The Chargers signaled fair catch. The returner got hit early. It was fair catch interference, which gave him a 15-yard penalty. The clock had expired. So it's Cameron Dicker is their kicker, I believe. He came on and hit a 57-yard fair catch field goal. It's a rare rule. In fact, I think trying to look back here, because Wikipedia had a page on the fair catch free kick, and they had every one in the history of the game, and there weren't that many. It's a really weird, obscure rule, and most of them are no good. Like I'm looking at these. Mark Moseley in 1979 tried a 74-yard fair catch free kick. It was the longest attempted field goal on record because you can take the long run up, 74 yards. So Chargers employed it last night. It's always been one of my favorite obscure rules. What is your favorite obscure rule from sports? Something you know about, you learned about as a kid, you wait to see it, you can't wait to talk about it. When it happens, you're like, I know that rule. Like one of my favorite things is, I think there's a lot of confusion on special teams on a lot of things. One of them is downing of a punt. I sat next to a referee once in a press box years ago, and I said, hey, what's the difference between the NFL rule and the college rule? Downing of a punt, because I don't think most fans know. And he said, in the NFL, it's like an out of bounds in basketball. If you are in bounds and you leap into the end zone and you've established your foot in bounds, like in basketball, and you jump into the end zone and you catch the ball and throw it back in, just like basketball, and somebody catches it on the one, the ball's down on the one. But if you like step, you can't run into the end zone and throw it back. You can't step on the goal line. Once you step on the goal line, you are technically out of bounds. And when you touch it, it's a touchback. In the college game, he told me, you could be standing in the end zone. And as the ball bounces inside the five, bounces at the three, you can reach out to the one and touch it. Even if you're standing in the end zone, it's the old plane of glass. It doesn't matter where you are. All that matters is where the ball is. So that was the difference between the college and the pro rule. The other one that I think most people don't know, if you punt and the punting team touches the ball but doesn't down it, okay, so the gunners run downfield, it bounces, and it hits one of the team that's punting, one of their players. The return team can pick it up and return it with no risk of anything bad going. So every once in a while you see this and people go, what the hell are you doing? Because the ball will be bouncing, and it'll hit one of the punt coverage team members, and the returner can run into a scrum of those guys waiting to down it and try and pick it up and return it, because you have the choice of returning it and taking the ball where you get it to, or taking the ball where it was touched by the punting team. So there's no risk. So if the ball, Kang, did you know this rule? If the ball,
vaguely.
If the ball touches the punting team, the return team should pick it up no matter how dangerous a situation it is.
Oh, yeah, I know that rule. I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay.
That one, yes.
Okay, because
I always yell at the TV to do it.
Yeah.
You have zero risk.
Zero risk. You either get the ball where the guy touched it,
yep,
or you get the result of the return.
Yep.
And I've seen this happen where the return team goes, or the punting team goes to sleep, and a returner picks it up and gets a big return.
I think more and more punt returners know this now, because they actually try to get in on it in the scrum, and then the other team starts surrounding him and not letting him into the pile,
yep,
because he knows, I can try to grab this without any, there's zero risk. Like you said, there's no problem at all. I can just, if I don't get it, I don't get it.
I don't get it. If I
get the ball,
yeah, we still get the ball where it was touched. So these are some of my favorite obscure rules. My all-time favorite was the fair catch free kick because you almost never see it. First of all, the circumstances almost never play. But that's why I was screaming at Caldwell to take a timeout at the end of the half and make the Bears punt out of their own end zone because you could employ the fair catch free kick, and they never did. 248-539-9797. Any sport, what is your favorite obscure rule? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. What's your favorite obscure rule in sports? Last night, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, they employed the fair catch free kick. If you make a fair catch on the last play of the half, you get a free, you can opt to take a free kick for 3 points, which is basically a run up and boom, a field goal. The other team has to line up 10 yards off the ball and you get a free kick at a field goal, which can lead to like 70-yard attempts because you can take longer run-ups because there's no rush. And the Chargers employed it. Cameron Dicker hit a field goal right before the half. 3 points for the Chargers. On the rare and obscure fair catch free kick. What's your favorite obscure rule in sports? 248-539-9797.
So I got one that I learned in high school basketball because our coach drew up the play. And before he drew up the play, he went over to the refs to alert them that we're going to do this. And I think a lot of basketball fans know this. I don't know about majority, though. But the fact that after a made basket underneath the hoop, the inbounder can throw the ball to his own teammate out of bounds in that right. same... But he's got to establish himself out of bounds first, okay? Right. And then that guy can now become the new inbounder, and you can still run a play. It's... The first time my high school coach taught us this play, I'm like, this is legal? He's like, yes, absolutely.
That's cool.
You're basically just handing it off to another guy to inbound it instead of yourself.
Yep. But it looks like you're passing it.
Exactly.
You're like, hey, he's out of bounds.
No,
but he's established it as out of bounds, so he's just becoming the new inbounder. So.
Yeah. My other favorite rule, obscure, but it's not really obscure, is just the emergency goalie in hockey. It's just a ridiculous rule that everyone knows that's unbelievable.
There is literally at every NHL game an emergency third goalie in case the road team has two goalies get injured and some plumber who plays in a beer league is at the game in case they need a goalie, which is hysterical.
I love this rule so much. I want it implemented in every major sport. I want an emergency quarterback sitting in the stands. I want an emergency point guard in the NBA arenas, right? I want an emergency relief pitcher in MLB stadiums. Some accountant. Or some FedEx driver who does this, you know, in his rec league.
It is absolutely awesome. And there was, so I'm looking up and trying to find, because there was recently an emergency goalie that made an appearance.
Yeah, Kenny was telling me, remember that one goalie that beat his own team in Toronto?
Yes. He was, he was. Yes, it was a guy who ended up playing for the Carolina Hurricanes. His name was David Ayers.
Yep.
And I just found it.
Yep.
It's back in 2020. And he's a Maple Leafs fan. And the next thing you know, he's a net for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes! We need emergency catchers in baseball.
This is like, the real world.
Isn't that how Gerald Laird got the job? He was the Pepsi delivery guy. And they're like, dude.
Yeah, we've speculated many times. Hysterical. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We go to Ray on a cell. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Ray.
Hey, in golf, you can tee up the ball, take a big swing at it, trying to knock it down the fairway. And if you just kind of toe it and falls off the tee sideways, you can put it, you got to count the stroke, but you can put it back on the tee and hit it again. Even if you tee off and it goes 50 yards and hits a tree and bounces back at your feet and stops in the teeing area, you can hit your next shot by teeing it up and aiming down the fairway again.
So is the requirement that the ball needs to land somewhere in the tee area, or does it, you can do it no matter what?
It has to be in the teeing area, which is from the tee markers, two club lengths back. So If it stays in that general area, you can tee it up again. And I coach high school golf, and it is used more than you might think.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. But that's actually useful for a hack like me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ray. 248-539-9797. Joe and Grosseal, you're on 97 on a ticket. What's up, Joe?
Well, the fair catch free kick was made even more unusual last night by the penalty on the play.
Yes.
Interfering with the... which moved the ball up. I don't ever remember that happening before, moving it up to try the free kick, was really cool.
That's a great point. Did you know the rule, Joe? Not about getting it moved up, but did you just know what a fair catch free kick was before it happened?
Yes, I did. My father is in the High School Football Officials Hall of Fame, so I'm pretty familiar with most of the rules, not all of them.
Yep.
But I also like the catcher interference rule in baseball, where I think it's the only rule where you get an option. You can either go to first base, or if the result of the batted ball is better than a single, if you will, you can take that result. It's the offensive team's choice.
Wow. That's I didn't know you had the choice. I should know that, but I didn't know you had the choice.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You do. If you tip the catcher's glove when you take a swing, you're guaranteed first. But if you hit it out of the park, you can touch them all.
That's cool. I did not know that. And that's good to know. Thank you, Joe. Obscure rules. What's your favorite obscure rule in sports? I think J.J. Watt's response was hysterical. He tweeted out, "Fair catch free kick shouldn't be that exciting." But it was. That was awesome. Harbaugh said after the game, because remember, because of the 15-yard penalty that moved him up, and it was a 56-yard field goal, Harbaugh said, "I wanted it so bad, we were going to try the 71-yarder." Which is funny. I mean, why not? The why not is the Bears can actually return it. So if you come up short... The Bears. It wasn't the Bears. It was the Broncos. I still got the Bears on my mind because of the Lions. That's when the Lions didn't employ it. The Broncos could have returned that last night. So if you try a 71-yarder and it comes up short, you have to cover the kick. So this is literally a field goal attempt where the Chargers were running downfield like they were covering a kickoff. It's such an obscure rule. Somebody sent us a video. Tyler, a link to the Senators had a goalie at the University of Ottawa who was caught on video running to the arena with his equipment after getting the last second call that he was needed. This was an NHL game. For a professional sports league to have things like plumbers and goalies running to the arena like they're kids and late for face-off, this is the NHL. This actually happens. John, you're next on 97 Want a Ticket. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had never, before last night, I had never even known about the fair catch free kick. And my buddy, we had a game on silent. We were just hanging out or whatever. And I was like, wait, what's going on here? So we had to, like, rewind it to, like, get the whole breakdown of, like, what was going on. I thought it was, like, really cool last night.
Yeah.
But my obscure rule with hockey, if there's a penalty shot situation, the team that is going to have the penalty shot, they have the option of whether taking the shot or taking the minor penalty. So if you have like a third or fourth line scrub out there that's about to take the shot, maybe just take the minor penalty instead, because you might have a better odds of scoring a goal that way.
It's interesting. I don't think, John, and I knew this obscure rule, I don't think I've ever seen anyone choose to take the minor penalty.
Yeah, I officiate hockey, like, so I have seen it, like, you know, at the lower levels, but I, like you said, I don't think I've ever seen it in the NHL level either, but, yeah, it's definitely a different one.
I mean, obviously you have percentages, you know, if your guy's good on shootouts and penalty shots and all that. So you have some semblance of a clue, but at the NHL level, and I always thought if I were the offending team, I'm okay with them choosing to take the penalty shot because, you know, it feels to me like penalty shots, they're no givens. Like, that, they're tough. Right. They're not easy.
Especially the the goalies in, you know, today's age where, I mean, they're unstoppable. It's not like back in the day where you got Gretzky, you know, they're stacking the pads and Gretzky scoring all these goals, you know, at will. But, yeah, the goalies have definitely gotten better in today's game.
Yeah, yeah. And the relief of, okay, they took the penalty shot, they didn't make it, and we don't have to kill 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Yep. John, thanks. 248-539-9797. Okay, so what is your favorite obscure rule in sports? It's Carson Anderson, Gators out today. There was some Lions news yesterday. I'm not sure how to take it. It's not bad news. We'll get to that today at 11:48 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Every Friday night, FanDuel is giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets lets you get in on the action from the opening tip. You can bet on things like who will score the first basket, which team will be the first to 15 points, and so much more. And best of all, you don't have to wait the whole game to see if you won. Just look for Friday firsts in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to claim your Friday first profit boost. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Maximum wager amount applies. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Karsh, Gator out today. Happy holidays, everybody. Big weekend of football ahead. We'll talk some college football next hour, get into tonight's game, action tomorrow in the college football playoff. So, look, we got news yesterday that indeed David Montgomery is not going to have season-ending surgery. So there's a few things about this. Some of you out there might be medical professionals. Some of you out there might be, you know, familiarity with an MCL injury, have some familiarity with an MCL injury. I do not have any intimate knowledge on an MCL injury. I did read what I could today. I'll tell you what this feels like to me. This feels like to me that there is a chance that you can play that it can get to the point where you can play without pain, but there'll be instability. But it's not likely you will do more damage. I could be wrong on this, but I'm just trying to learn what I can quickly. And medical school takes 4 years. I spent 35 seconds on a Google search. So this probably isn't great information, but it's what I could find. And not being a trained orthopedic surgeon, I'll give you what I can. With that said, what do we expect out of David? Oh, and the reason you do this is because whatever the procedure is, delaying surgery isn't going to cost him into next year. This is me speculating. I would have to imagine that if delaying surgery would bleed into next year, it might keep him out next year. Because this could be delaying surgery for months. Like it could be into February now before he gets this done if he tries to play it out and the Lions stay alive long enough. So let's start with the premise that you have to assume that if he gets a surgery done on December 21st or he gets the surgery done on February 21st, it doesn't matter. He'll be good to go for the opener in 2025, September of 2025. That feels like a safe assumption to me. So what do we expect? What do we expect? The word on this is that after, you know, we knew we went for a first opinion, second opinion, third opinion. And the wording from Ian Rappaport was, quote, the star avoided season-ending surgery that was initially feared. Montgomery will rehab with hope that he can return at some point this postseason. Sources are now optimistic. Okay. So they could get David Montgomery back. We do know that the Detroit Lions will be playing a playoff game. They have clinched a spot in the playoffs, and they might have David Montgomery ready to go. Great. I almost feel like I'm looking at this as a possible bonus because and just that. When it gets announced that his season is over, which apparently was premature, and maybe under normal circumstances, a player's season would be over. But when it gets announced a player's season's over, one turns the page, and that's what I did. However, if he does come back, it's a welcome surprise, is the way I look at it. I'd already turned the page, so I'll look at this as a welcome surprise. If we get anything out of David Montgomery, I'm skeptical that we will, but they're not doing this for no reason. So you may as well, right? Give it a shot. Do I think they need David Montgomery to win a Super Bowl? I think having him would help. But given the typical roster of NFL backs, it doesn't feel like a requirement. The Lions had the best backfield in the NFL because they had two great running backs. If you look around the other contenders, does anybody else have two great running backs? Or they have a main guy and then the other guy? Like, I'm sure everybody loves their guy, their number two. When we brought it up with Stoney, he was like, Kenneth Gainwell. Yeah, but nobody's game planning to stop Kenneth Gainwell. He might be beloved in Philly and hell. Nobody elevates role players as much as we do here in Detroit, but we really had two lead dogs. And that's just not the norm. So can you win a Super Bowl without having both your lead dogs? You can. You absolutely can. Most teams do without having two guys. I'm not even convinced Kansas City Chiefs have one. Both Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco average less than 4 yards per carry. That is not a particularly potent rushing attack. So, now obviously the Chiefs have something else. And what they have else is pretty damn good. So, I guess that's my mental approach is, hey, if they get anything out of David Montgomery, it's just a bonus. Kang, you got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I think this is more positive than not, because I think, you know, we thought it was over and it's not over apparently.
Yep.
I don't want him to injure himself furthermore, cause more damage like for his career. But if this is one of those, hey, I can put it off until next year, this off season, and puts the start of next season in jeopardy as far as he's going to miss some time, I think we'll all raise our hand and agree to that, because this, you never know when the window closes. And I know they're trying to build something sustainable here, but you do have to capitalize on the here and now,
yep,
if you can. And if David Montgomery feels like, hey, this thing is not that severe, with a little rehab and some rest, I can actually come back and play this year. And if I need surgery, I'd take care of it in the offseason. And like I said, if I miss a couple of the first weeks, so be it. I'm all for it. This would be fantastic. This is better news than like I said, what we had earlier in the week.
Yep.
It seemed kind of crazy, though, right? Earlier in the week where it was like, yeah, he's out for the year. Wait, he's not on IR yet. Wait, we're getting a third opinion. Wait, there may be a chance to, hey, we're going to rehab this.
He might play.
Yeah.
So that's obviously the zoom in, look at what it means in the here and the now. The zoom out, a 30,000-foot view of the Lions organization. This is an organization that had two elite players who could still play, say, enough. I'm sick of getting beat up for no reward. Now we have players putting off surgery and talking about, I will do anything I can. It's pain management. I will try rehab. Anything I can to get back on the field. Now there are all kinds of ways that I still marvel at how much things have changed. This is another example of it. Calvin was sick of getting beat up for nothing. I mean, he was a record-breaking receiver. There were great moments. There were big wins. But he didn't see that it was worth it anymore to put his body through what it was going through for a team that wasn't going to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And win it all. And he had other things going on too, but right. And now you've got a David Montgomery, and I look, you can do whatever you want with your life. I'm not holding against Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson, right? I was mad at Barry because of the timing, because he waited till right before training camp and didn't allow the team to really do anything else. Like in that moment in time, they were kind of stuck without a running back. I think they ended up signing or trading for Greg Hill. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, but look, you can do whatever you want. It's your life. In this case, though, David Montgomery is delaying surgery, dealing with the pain, and doing everything he can to get back on the field. And that's another one of these, is this real life moments, how much things have changed.
I mean, Hutch's leg snapped in half, and he wouldn't declare himself completely out for this year. Like, he you know, we heard it. We played it on the station on a podcast and said, hey, man, if we make it to the Super Bowl, if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl, I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there. They do their part. I will make it back. That, you know, the mentality, the culture that's been built here, it's totally different. People are willing to lay it on the line, never give up. It's like an alternate universe.
It's really, really cool. And by the way, it's an appreciation on a number of fronts. I always appreciate when the guys are drafted here, they grew up here, they know nothing better. But there's a different level when a guy comes from another organization, he's got points of comparison, he knew what it was like in their culture, comes to this culture and goes, oh my God, it's all good here. Like, I really like this. And on top of that, I want to do everything I can to help this team win. God, I mean, guys are doing whatever they can to be on board for the ride. I feel so bad for those guys that are hurt. Like, you got to think about heart and soul poured into winning, and this is your job, and you're getting your opportunity, and you're on a winning team, and then bam, you have to sit it out. The Aleem McNeil, the guys that have been through the tough times, Aleem McNeil, Malcolm Rodriguez, Derek Barnes, when they first got here, things weren't great, but part of the cultural change, I feel bad for them. I hope Barnes can come back. But hey, man, another sign how things have changed.
Yeah, Jalen Reeves-Maven, who's been through some rough times, you know. But this is what they build. This is like the anti-bowl game stuff that players do, you know, where, hey, my finger hurts, I'm out. You know, like,
right.
I don't feel well. I'm not playing in a month from now. No, this is, don't rule me out yet.
Yeah, right? I hear you. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up next hour. Got a Lions question we want to get to at some point. Also, the coordinator spoke yesterday some interesting stuff from Ben Johnson about his future. You can interpret it how you want. You'll hear that today at 12:20. But it really got addressed, and he said some things that really make you think. We'll get to that today at 12:20. Straight ahead, college football. We got the playoff game tonight, Indiana and Notre Dame. We'll get to our take on that coming up at 12:05 here on Carson Anderson. Gator out today. Open lines 97.1 The Ticket.